At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. Your Kansas City Chiefs are officially 4-0, and your Kansas City Royals are officially 1-0 in the playoffs. We are so excited. As you can see, Jody and I are both wearing blue tonight. So, you know, got to rep those Kansas City Royals, but we are a Chiefs podcast, so that's what we're here to talk about tonight. So, yeah, we are 4-0. It's been a rocky start, but we're still 4-0, and we're one of the only teams left. Us and the Minnesota Vikings are the final two teams at 4-0, so not too much to complain about there, but I'm your host, Lexi.
Hey, y'all, what's up? I am Jody. Yes, we represent all things Kansas City. We love our team. We love our city. And the Royals went crazy today, and they can lock it up tomorrow. So go Royals. Like, and this this wasn't even planned. I just was like, I know I'm putting on a royal shirt today. And then she put one on too. So great minds think alike. Great minds think alike. but no, super excited to be back with y'all here today on this lovely Tuesday. And let's kind of get into it around the NFL. So there's a lot of drama happening right now in the NFL as expected. I feel like it's every week. every week, I feel like there's all kind of drama around the NFL. So let's go ahead and start with the AFC West. So I think we knew that Devontae Adams has been miserable since Derek Carr left the Raiders over a year ago. And I don't know if y'all watched Receiver last season, but he made it very clear that, like, he wasn't happy. But then he was like, okay, I'm cool because the new head coach. But he requested a trade. And apparently his agent said, try to request a trade in the offseason. And that didn't happen. And here we are. So he's trying to get out of there.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate because I would love for him to be a Chief, but nobody's picking up the $13 to $15 million that's left on his contract. They're not going to trade with the AFC West. And they also are not going to just let him go to any team. Now, Devontae Adams did say that if he got to choose where he wanted to go, apparently he has a list of teams that he wants to go to. And lo and behold, of course, the Jets are on that list, right? Like, of course, Devontae Adams wants to go play with Aaron Rodgers. Oh, my. How shocking is that? It's not shocking to anybody. But for me, just get out the AFC. I'm fine with that.
Either come to us or get out of the AFC.
Literally, that's it. Those are the two options, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if anything, I would be floored if the Raiders traded him to the Chiefs. Now, I think if the Chiefs were willing to give up enough capital for him, I think you and I are both like team do whatever it takes to get this three-peat going, right? So it's like, you almost want to do whatever it takes, but at the same time, I don't know. I don't know what the Chiefs could offer the Raiders that would be enough to get Devontae Adams here.
Well, they want a two. They're not going to probably give up a two for that.
But I think, and I just think like the Chiefs, like, I don't know. I just think they'd require even more from us, to be honest.
And we don't have the capital. Like, we don't have that much money in our bank account anyway. So where it is a sweet, lovely dream to have Devontae Adams, it is probably not happening, unfortunately. So it is what it is. It's fine. Again, hopefully he leaves AFC. Next on our list, Jaden Daniels for the freaking Commanders. This man has been going insane. His last two games have been outstanding. He has been balling out. He put on one heck of a performance last week and in week three. And I know that he's the number two rookie coming out of this class, but man, he sure looks pretty darn good. He's adjusting a lot better than other rookie quarterbacks. So want to give Jaden some credit, because shout out to him for putting on one heck of a performance against the Cardinals this past week.
He is looking like number one to me.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
They're going to win that division.
I have to look that up. I think both him and the Bears are 2-2, right?
The Bears have two wins.
Somehow.
The first win, the offense didn't do anything. It was the special teams and the defense.
Right.
Yeah.
They have two wins. The defense scored everything for them that game.
Yeah.
I feel like they're both 2-2, but there's one rookie that's standing out a lot more than the other rookie. That happens when you're both rookies. You're going to get compared, and that's just how it goes, especially pick one and two. Like, you're going to get compared. I don't know. Jaden Daniels, to me, he's looking way better than maybe the other one. But
I don't know. He looks way better than Caleb Williams, especially if you put their stat lines together. He's not even comparison. He's not even close. Not even in comparison. So
it's reminiscent of last season. However, I do think Caleb Williams is doing better than Bryce Young did on the Panthers. So there's that.
Well, yeah, he has a better offensive line and he has more targets.
I don't know that he has a better offensive line.
The Panthers is miserable.
Panthers and Bears O-lines are miserable. But I will say Caleb Williams has more targets. He has more weapons. He was given
more weapons. Oh yeah,
he was given every offensive weapon you could dream of. Like,
I mean, they just re-signed DJ Moore.
Keenan Allen, DJ Moore.
Even though Keenan Allen's been hurt.
I mean, but like, I don't know. But yeah, Jaden Daniels. Let's get to him. He's balling out. He looks phenomenal in these games. Cliff Kingsbury, as an offensive coordinator, is doing fantastic.
That's what he's good at. He's good at being an OC, not a head coach. Yeah.
Not a head coach, but great at OC. So yes. They look great. I'd like to see a team like that doing well. Like the Commanders, they've struggled for a long time. And they're in a tough division. But I think by the end of the season, I'm excited for what that division holds.
I think they're going to win their division. I think they're going to win it. The Eagles and the Cowboys look terrible. They're not going to get it together.
No, they look terrible. Yeah.
They're not going to get it together. Not at this rate. The Dolphins look a complete hot mess without Tua. You know, yesterday when I was watching the game, I was like, the grass is not greener on the other side, is it? You could tell Tyreek Hill is miserable. He does not even know how to function at this point. They looked a mess. They could not score any touchdowns. They barely were getting field goals. They had 6 points going into halftime. I was just like, turn this Monday Night Football game off. It is horrible. But I will say, Tua is definitely not going to retire. I think he's going to come back and play football. I think that's unfortunate, but he is going to take those 4 weeks and then, you know, decide to do whatever he wants to do from there. They clearly need him. Mike McDaniels is not as great as everybody thinks that he is as a head coach. No, they did not look good.
No, they looked completely undisciplined. I don't know what Mike McDaniels doing as a head coach over there, but I don't think either of us have been buying his shtick for the last 2 years. Like, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of what he's done. And then I think he's gotten by with really elite wide receiver play. Tua is definitely a good quarterback. I don't know that he has what it takes to make it in the postseason, but I think he's a good regular season quarterback. Which is fair because what you're seeing on the Dolphins right now is just awful. Awful quarterback play.
Yeah, it's a mess. I don't know what they're going to do to fix it. I don't even know if he could come back and
and turn it around.
That team with the Bills being on in that division and the Jets being in that division, I'm just not necessarily sure what he could do to salvage and come back and be to get that team where it needs to be. I mean, technically, New England has the Dolphins are sitting at fourth in their division right now, and the Patriots are above them, even though they're both 1-3. The Patriots are above them. So, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do to salvage, but no high hopes.
But those two teams play each other this week, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, very. Yeah, it will be.
Nah, not really, but, you know.
Now, I will say, I think if we go back and look at Sunday Night Football, we had Ravens versus Bills. The Bills were extremely dominant through the first 3 weeks of the season leading into this week four matchup with the Ravens. Now, everybody says this, right? Josh Allen is a September Super Bowl. That's what he does. He always wins in September, blah, blah, blah. And the Ravens, as their weeks have started to progress, you can see, like, the rhythm that they're starting to get, especially with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. They embarrassed the Bills. I was excited about it. But they embarrassed the Bills on Sunday night. So
I really expected a lot closer of a game. Like, I thought the Ravens actually, I picked them to win. I thought they had a good chance of winning. Just because you're at home, like, you have a point to prove. There's been a lot of talk. I mean, this, like you said, it happens every September with Josh Allen and the Bills, where it's, okay, they're dominant. They're Josh Allen's MVP, blah, 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 right? That's fine. He played fantastic in September early on. This last game, he had like one cool play that kind of worked out for him. Josh Allen did. But aside from that, like, the Ravens dominated that entire game, and they finally got Derrick Henry in the run game. They finally got things going, and Lamar had to run a lot that game as well. And I feel like that's where they're dominant, is with like Lamar and Derrick Henry as like a 1-2 punch. I don't mean that with disrespect, but like that's where they are dominant right now. I don't know if they'll find different things to do. Like, Zay Flowers is an awesome receiver. He only had a few yards. Mark Andrews
going the waste. He can come.
Mark Andrews had 0 yards again. Nothing.
They're going to waste. They could literally go to other teams.
It's literally like everyone's running and no one's getting. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
regardless, well against us. Until they meet a team that has a really good run defense, like, they're going to run all over everybody.
They didn't do that against us. Yeah, well, no, Lamar did, actually. But
Derrick Henry was shut down. And you got to shut one of them down. You can't let them both go off. I will say there was more news that came out of the Bills today. Crazy. Von Miller is facing a suspension. So I heard two things, but the thing that came out most recently was allegedly about him and an ex-girlfriend who he had pregnant or something, and they got into a confrontation. And so now he's under investigation. Someone else was like, gotta be PEDs. That's why he's looking so good here lately. Which, you know, he does look mighty young and snappy, but who knows? Regardless, if it's either one, it's still a terrible situation. And they paid Von Miller a whole lot of money to be getting suspended.
I think, like, what I've seen from Bills fans is they're not happy he's even still on the team.
He was terrible last year.
Terrible last year. It was, and I genuinely think this is what it is. They had a bye week last season, which was like week 9 or 10 or something. And he had the altercation with his girl. And it was reported that he beat up on her and she was pregnant.
Yeah, that in Dallas. Yeah. That came out last year.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, and he hadn't been punished for it. So that's got to be what it is. And then people are like, well, why isn't Rashee Rice punished yet? I'm like, because do you see that happened last season and he hasn't been punished yet? Rashee Rice has happened in the offseason. So this is going to take another while for this. Anyway, that's a whole other story. But like, that's just how the NFL works. Like, it takes time. It's how the legal system works. It takes time. So Von Miller is now being punished for his actions from last season. And they're
killing it, though. So we'll see.
It's not gonna be
moving on to the Niners. Some horrible news came out from Niners camp with CMC. So I already kind of had the feeling that he wasn't gonna play half of the season, and I didn't want to say, like, when he went over to, and I can't remember where he went, Germany. I think he went to Germany to get additional tests on his Achilles done. So one, leaving the country in general to go to Germany to do that made me automatically think that whatever this is, it cannot be good. They're saying now that he has a double Achilles tendonitis in both legs. And that's really unfortunate for CMC because he has been dynamic since he's moved over to San Francisco. He's been so good. He's definitely been like one of the head people on that team to get that team to be so successful. Absolutely. And now I'm almost pretty positive we won't see him play football at all this year. I don't think he plays at all this season.
The Niners are so interesting to me because they came into the season so dominant, but they've had their share of big injuries to a lot of offensive players already, which is not great. They're 2-2 right now, but yeah, I think CMC and chalk it up to the Madden curse, whatever you want to do. It's really unfortunate because I don't know if the Niners, there's a lot of speculation that like they weren't honest with it up front. Like, he was the number one pick in fantasy football drafts overall, pretty much in every single person's, which is like hundreds and thousands, millions of people that are playing fantasy football that took Christian McCaffrey first overall in their draft, which I know isn't like a huge deal, but like that kind of is. Like, that's kind of, you're putting money on this stuff, and for them not to be transparent about his injury is not a great thing. Now, maybe they didn't know it was this bad at the beginning of the season, and maybe it just came to surface that it was this bad, but regardless, he is such a fun player to watch. He makes the NFL great. It's a bummer to see a player like that go down with such a bad injury, with such, like, it's week to week, it's like something else happens where it's like, oh, okay, now it's Achilles tendonitis, like in both legs. Like, huh? Like in both legs? That's crazy. So
I don't expect to see him at all this season. So for those of you who drafted him in fantasy, I didn't, because I was the last pick in damn near every fantasy league. So I don't have CMC. Not a problem for me. But I suggest you go out there and find another running back. Another injury that really was shocking for me this weekend, Anthony Richardson with the Colts went out again with a hip injury. He took a pretty hard hit in his hip the way he landed. And it didn't look good. So he also had that terrible injury last season that pretty much ended his season. And we didn't see him anymore. And then he's come out this season looking pretty good so far, only to be injured again and to go out. So they haven't really given like a full update on what that looks like. I don't think he's been placed on like the IR or anything like that. But at the current moment, he's injured. And we'll see if he's good to go this Sunday. Not sure what's happening there. In other news, on a positive note, there are only 2 undefeated teams left in the NFL. Last week, there was 5. 3 of them went out. Steelers, Bills. Who's the 3rd team?
Seahawks.
They all took L's. Yeah. Your remaining 2 teams that are undefeated are the Vikings and the Chiefs. Now, totally fine with having a repeat of the Super Bowl if we got to. My feelings would not be hurt at all if we had to run it back and do it again. But the Vikings have been pretty freaking good. Sam Darnold has been balling out. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, all of those guys have been looking so good. No one took Jordan Addison for 2 touchdowns last week. No one freaking thought that he was going to have that plus Jettas plus like a run-in touchdown. Like, they were going crazy last week at home. So it's really good to see, like, the energy coming out of Minnesota. And let's just see if they can keep it up. Can Sam Darnold keep that same energy through 18 weeks? That's going to be the biggest question.
This was, I think, they've had some tests early on for sure. But
yeah,
I think their game against the Packers this week, I was like, okay, if anyone's going to give them, like, a big run for their money, it's going to be the Packers. And immediately, the Vikings just are dominant. Like, barely gave the Packers a chance. The Packers tried to fight back at the end. They didn't make it. And the Vikings won.
Yes, they did. And
they just, it's not like they're winning, like, by chance either. It's, like, dominant, great wins.
No. They're balling out. Sam Darnold looks good. I mean, I drafted him as my second quarterback in most of my fantasy leagues.
Yeah.
And he's been outperforming a lot of the people who I picked as my first quarterback. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not mad at this at all. I'll take it. I will take it. I'm not mad at it. So
I think he's surprised. Like, he's surprising everyone, but at the same time, it's like, I think a lot of people knew he had this in him. It just took the right team taking a chance on him and giving him a great setup. Like, it's hard to fail with what he has over there on the Vikings, and their defense is so good.
Their head coach is
great. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Naylor. I mean, their offense. They have Aaron Jones on offense now. Like,
I love their head coach. I think he's really good.
Yeah.
I think he's really good. I think he's really smart.
And I love KOC. I love Kevin O'Connell. I think he's doing a great job. Mm-hmm. It's just, they're fun to watch. Listen, Vikings Chiefs was like Super Bowl, our first Super Bowl we won, we beat the Vikings, and it was in New Orleans. So I'm just saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I already know. I said that earlier. I'm like, I'm fine with the repeat Super Bowl. I'm definitely fine with that.
Yeah.
Well, that's your Around the NFL, people. Yeah. Let's go ahead and get into this quick sponsor. This podcast is brought to you by the Autograph Collection. If you have not downloaded the app yet, please make sure you download the app and see all of your favorite sports teams. Of course, right now we are big Chiefs fans, but with the Royals in the postseason, it's kind of important to download the app and make sure you show that the Royals are your favorite team too. On there, you will see all kind of information about your favorite teams. You'll see the latest podcast information in the area. You will also see places where you can get cheap tickets. Don't know if you're a Royals fan and you were in Baltimore, but tickets for the game today were starting at $17 for a postseason game. And that is wildly insane. And they had a whole bunch of empty seats. Make sure you go onto the app and check out all of your latest ticket prices too, because it's on there. Download the app now. Autograph. It's in your app store. It's free to download. And make sure you use promo code KingdomsQueens. All right, so let's go ahead and recap last week. Chiefs versus Chargers, week four. We went to LA. What's the song? There's a song right now that I really like.
Going back to Cali.
I love LA.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Different
song. I was singing that the whole time this weekend.
I seen Going Back to Cali. We're going.
Oh, no. The other song that I actually didn't realize I like until I watched Receivers, and they played it when Amon-Ra was getting ready.
Okay.
He was from there, and that's the song that was playing in the background. And I was like, hey, I like this song. So it's just been in my head ever since. So we went to LA. We got a win. It came with a sacrifice, but we got a win. Chiefs are 4-0, but we had another injury. Rashee Rice. Well, if you guys remember the play, which I'm sure it's embedded in everybody's head right now.
Sure.
Patrick Mahomes overthrows Travis Kelce.
Underthrows, but same thing.
I thought it was an overthrow. It went over his head, no? Regardless.
Regardless. I haven't actually had time to watch the game back yet, so.
Yeah, overthrows him. They catch it. It's getting ready to be a return fumble, whatever the heck is happening. Rashee Rice goes from offense to defense. Of course, everybody on offense goes from offense to defense immediately because the ball is just in the air and everybody's trying to go get the ball. Rashee Rice, Patrick Mahomes, they collide. It's disgusting. We lost our receiver. So there are still speculations about what the actual injury is. Of course, we know that it is a knee injury, his right knee. Not sure if it's ACL, not sure if it's a bone bruise, not sure if it's a sprain. There's lots of things that are happening. What we do know is there's still a lot of swelling. And until the swelling goes down, they're not going to be able to get an accurate MRI. They've done a few tests already. but I'm just going to assume that they can't see what they want to see. Or it's like worst case scenario. And they're like, no, we're going to continue to do tests until the swelling goes down. I think it's really a combination of both. But the articles that came out today said that we probably won't hear anything until next Monday. And I am almost 1,000% sure that that is because they are waiting for some swelling to go down so they can really get in there and see what is going on with his knee. So the Chiefs are now without Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Isaiah Pacheco. Still don't have Charles Omenihu. And we're going into week five somehow undefeated without the game plan that we worked on all offseason. We're pretty much off script now. Whatever we were doing before, none of that's happening going into week five.
I think that's so frustrating is we had such a good plan going into the season where we got, you know, Brett Veach was like, let me not mess around. Let me get some offensive talent for you. Let me get Hollywood Brown. Let me get Xavier Worthy in the draft in the first round. And then you have Rashee Rice, who's excelling and who was going to be like that trio is just going to be unbelievable. And I have no doubt that they would be unbelievable if all three were on the field. Then you have Travis Kelce, Noah Gray. You have our backup guys like Justin Watson, Mecole Hardman. I mean, you have these guys that are great depth, and we haven't gotten to see anything. We got to see one catch from Hollywood Brown in preseason, and he went down, which is so unfortunate. Prayers up to him. We had Isaiah Pacheco, who I didn't even mention earlier, who, again, huge trust with Patrick and catching screen passes and just being open when he needs him or making blocks and just catching onto this offense so well. I thought he was going to have a 1,000-yard season. He's out for indefinite time. We don't know. Week three, we come out unscathed pretty much, and you kind of find a rhythm there with Rashee Rice. And then week four, you can't even make it up. Mahomes falls on Rashee Rice's leg and just crushes his knee.
Yeah, seriously.
But he threw a pick.
Let's kind of get into some of the positives of the game from this week. There's lots of things that were negative that I think we could talk about. There's lots of negative things that we've seen literally every single week.
Positives, though.
There's definitely some positives, so I'm going to dig deep and try to find some of them. Sure. I mean, when you look at the offense from this week, I mean, I personally had Kareem Hunt having literally less than, like I said, 5 to 7 snaps. He's not going to have more than that. No more than 5 to 7.
Yeah.
And Kareem Hunt went off this week. And I think that wasn't the original game plan, right? You don't originally plan on losing your number one receiver in the first few minutes of the game. But right. Kareem Hunt definitely showed why he's back on this team. He was full of energy. He was a ball of energy. He actually gave me the energy that you would get from an Isaiah Pacheco. Isaiah Pacheco was always hype and running around and hyping his team up and all of this. And I will say, I feel like this team has like zero energy this season, especially with Willie Gay being gone, who was also just like a hype man on the sidelines. No Isaiah Pacheco, who is like a hype man on the sidelines. No CEH, who was like a hype man on the sidelines. So when you kind of look at the sidelines, they look bored. It looks like there's no motivation over there. So for Kareem Hunt to kind of come back and to be that energy, that's exactly what this team needs. So,
yeah.
If that's what we're going to get from him and he hasn't played football in forever, then, hey, I will take it because he went the freak off and I need him to do it again this week against the Saints. So,
sorry, I almost just wrecked half of my setup here. Okay. Everything almost just collapsed. I was like, oh my God.
Please don't.
I completely agree. I think Kareem Hunt was kind of that missing energy we needed.
Yeah.
You're totally right, too. It's like Willie Gay was totally our energy guy on the sidelines. Yeah. And lose him. Isaiah Pacheco's that energy guy. And then you lose him. And then you don't have him for the away games. I think he'll be back for the home games, hyping our guys up on the sidelines. But, like, it's tough, man. It's really tough to lose these guys that are, like, your bread and butter, your energy, your everything like that. And so I think Kareem Hunt he has that newfound energy of not having that chance for years and years with the Chiefs. And then finally again, I think, and it's just, it's honestly still crazy to me that he's back. Like, I did not really ever see this happening unless worse came to worse, which is exactly what happened. And that's
literally.
So welcome back. He did fantastic, but yeah, I think we're just lacking. I don't even mean to call him out, but like Travis Kelce, I don't see, there's not like a lot of energy coming from him. But usually he's like, he's usually better about the energy on the sidelines. I'm like, am I missing something or why?
No, he's been very bland too. Like everybody is. Everyone's and I don't even understand why. Like,
I don't either.
I get that there's a lot of opportunities through the first 4 weeks, right? And I also get that they're trying to adjust to whatever this new game plan is. Totally fine. But that doesn't mean that you just go through the motions. Like, I don't care that you've been on this team for 10 years, 8 years, 7 years. Like, y'all know what it's like. And I hope it's not a matter of them being bored either. So, like, it's really unfortunate because if you sit down and kind of look at the offense this week, Carson still fumbled. That's his second fumble in 4 weeks. I don't know how much more we're going to see of him, especially because Clyde Edwards-Helaire technically should be back this week. So they have not activated him on the roster yet, but technically he's back for week 5, which is the week that we're going into.
Right. Well, yeah, he's back to practicing this week.
So correct. At
least, yeah.
So, I mean, he could not be elevated until after the bye week. Who knows? But if you think about our backfield and you have Kareem Hunt, Samaje Perine, and CEH, that's amazing. Now, there's a possibility that what can you do with Carson Steele? Maybe it's a matter of him actually going to that fullback position, right?
I think, honestly.
Because that's his bread and butter. His bread and butter is being a fullback.
And he did a good job last week when we needed him.
Yeah.
He was fantastic.
And he had a fumble. Oh, you mean not this past game, the game before.
Week three, he was fantastic. Like, when we needed him to step up and we didn't have Kareem Hunt activated yet, he stepped up and he...
He definitely did.
So I think he has it in him. I think he's young. I think it's a lot of pressure, I think. And that's fine. I think, but like, we can all see there's a lot of talent there with Carson Steele. I think it's just a matter of learning, growing from it and moving forward. And I think, like you said, putting him just directly in that fullback role will be huge for him. So if we have power runners like Kareem Hunt, Samaje Perine, and getting CEH back activated, Pacheco back eventually later on, and then you have Carson Steele at fullback, I think that's awesome. Like,
that'll be just fine.
Perfect.
So when I look at the receivers, I think that I wore a Travis Kelce shirt on Sunday because I was like, all right, Travis, it's time. It's week 4. Dang it. We haven't seen anything from you. It's time. And Travis Kelce balled out. I mean, 7 wrecks, 89 yards. Now, Travis Kelce was good. Travis Kelce is older. And we see it. He definitely doesn't run as fast as he used to. He can still get free. He can still catch a ball.
He can still do all of those great things. He's like, 3 years ago, I could have ran that in, but this year, nah.
Yeah. His knees were his back or something gave out. His hip, something gave out. I don't know what it was. But that's all right. Because he's, and I think I said this before the season started, he's really starting to take in that Jason Witt role from the Cowboys. Jason Witten, who was just really old, reliable in on third down, coming to get the third down, going to get the first down, and then back to the sidelines. So it's just really, it's different now because the role that Travis Kelce was not supposed to have, he's going to have now. We didn't expect him to come in here and to maybe play as many reps or to be so open. He's been more so of like the distraction, if that makes sense. You know, when Travis Kelce's on the field, your secondary is going to be looking for him. So that is one reason why he's mainly on this field, to free up those other guys. Before Rashee Rice got hurt, Rashee Rice was always open. because they were either looking for your fastest man on the field, who was Xavier Worthy, who did have a good game. Granted, he only had three wrecks. They were for freaking 73 yards. So, I mean, the little bit of time that he was out there, he was a freaking speedster and going
He's going to get the deep balls, which is going to account for a lot of yards.
Right. But when you're down a receiver, it's like, okay, well, what do you do here? So, I mean, you can see where the Chiefs had to make those adjustments literally mid-game on what the offensive plan looked like. Scott Moore got to go. Listen, I don't know how else to say. I have nothing nice to say. So I'm just going to say that and end the conversation.
The one thing I will say that's nice about him.
Nothing.
His blocking.
He can dress.
He can block.
So can Juju. So can Carson Steele. So can Kareem Hunt.
I know.
So no.
Saying, if you want to find a positive to Sky Moore, it's his block.
He can dress. I really like when he wears the sunglasses. That's sometimes real cute. I really like his production people when they put videos together for him. Those are fire. But he dropped an open first down. He dropped a touchdown.
He's one target. That's all he's gotten.
So for those of y'all who are not in Kansas City, who do not listen to Kansas City radio or Kansas City news, our good friend Harold Kuntz, I think he's with Fox 4. He was in the press box, of course, and he just posted a video. I'm not making this up. This is not a rumor. You can literally go watch it on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call the app. He posted a video and he was talking about how when he was in the press box, Patrick Mahomes throws the ball to Sky Moore. Sky Moore drops it. All of a sudden, you hear a loud thud on a table, and you turn around, and it's Brett Veach slamming the table. Like, what? If Brett Veach is mad, I can be mad. So, I'm going to just say the words that he can't say. He got to go.
Andy Reid is apparently the only one that can't say anything about it.
Sure.
They asked him about Sky Moore, and he's like, he's helped us get some first downs, and I'm like,
yeah, Andy.
Sure. Sure, he has. He has by blocking and helping with blocking, but that's about it.
It's not because he caught the ball.
No. So that was his first target. He dropped it. I don't know what they're going to do with him. It's going to be hard to even include him in like a trade package anywhere. Like, I don't know.
I mean, Kadarius Toney did end up on a team.
He's on the practice squad of Browns.
Yeah, well, I tried. I tried.
I'm like, I think of Sky Moore. I think of anything, it'd be a practice squad on a bad team somewhere. If you can't do it here, if you can't do it here with the best quarterback and best head coach in the league, I don't know where you're going to do it.
You know, I think it's funny that you talk about the best quarterback. I think we need to go ahead and jump into that Patrick Mahomes offensive line conversation. Patrick Mahomes has spoke openly about how he needs to be more accurate. He needs to be more settled in the pocket. He needs to not leave the pocket. He's already spoke about all of these things, right? This is almost kind of like him saying Travis is always doubled and triple team when you watch the film and he's not. He probably will be next week. But prior, he wasn't. Like week 2 and 3, he wasn't. So is Patrick trying to cover for the O-line because it's collapsing so fast? Or is it a combination of both? Because it's a combination of both.
I want to give my thoughts. So I watched Mitchell Schwartz. Did you watch that today?
Yeah, I watched it earlier. And I watched other film too from other people.
He gave a great breakdown. If you guys want to look at his Twitter X page, he gave a great breakdown of Mahomes pretty much almost every single snap from last game, at least the important ones, from last game against the Chargers, and what was happening with his footwork and yada yada. And everyone's like, oh, his footwork's so sloppy, this and that. I agree to a point.
I think it's both.
I think it's... But if you watch, I mean, the Chargers, they didn't even have Joey Bosa, which I don't even want to get into that. But, like, they brought the pressure to him every single snap. I mean, he, our typical interior O-line, who's usually the best in the league, did not look that good versus the Chargers D-line. Like, no one on our O-line looked great versus the Chargers D-line. I don't know if they underestimated them because Joey Bosa was out. I don't know what exactly happened
there. I don't think that's it. I think that's how they've looked through 4 weeks.
I don't know how you just – I think what I'm struggling with is, like, how our interior O-line, who was arguably top one, top two, top three in the league last season, plus Patrick Mahomes, who has been the best quarterback in the league, you have this combination of everyone, and they're not – like, something's just out of sync. Something is extremely out of sync. Like, it's just, I don't know what it is exactly, but something's just not adding up with all of those guys. And I think with Patrick Mahomes, it's like, you see the sloppy footwork. He's getting better at that. But he's nervous every single time that he takes a snap. He's nervous. And you're back. And
sorry.
I don't know what happened to you. No, but I was just saying, Patrick Mahomes looks nervous every single time his O-line breaks down.
I have things to say.
I think it's just causing our whole offense to not look in sync.
So I have a few things to say about this. I think when you sit down and kind of look at the game this past, just if you just look at week four versus the Chargers, the offensive line, they were not holding their ground at all. So it's not even the fact that Patrick was getting sacked. It was how fast the pocket was closing. So fast. Now, granted, could Patrick have dropped back and maybe have better vision? Yes. But what Patrick did was run out of the pocket a lot. And now he's running out into no protection at all. And then his O-line is over here, and he's over here running for his life from other people. So I think there's a combination there. One, does he trust his left tackle? Not really. I mean, yeah, Wanye Morris has been okay, but they're still sending Chip help over there.
There's plenty of times where Wanye is in Patrick's lap.
Literally. And Trey Smith. Like,
Trey
and Taylor wasn't good.
Joe Tooney.
So, I will say
this.
They've
all not been great.
In the beginning, I was like, all right, Jawan Taylor just doesn't. No, in the beginning, I was like, well, Patrick's holding on the ball for 10 seconds. What do you expect the offensive line to do? You can't hold somebody for that long. Like, you cannot hold somebody from not hitting Patrick for that long. In the beginning, Patrick was holding on to the ball for a really long time. Now, granted, there might not have been receivers available. That's a very high possibility. I'm not saying that it's not. But when you look, there are people that are available. I mean, Justin Watson was available for a whole touchdown and he missed him.
So is Worthy. But then
and Travis Kelce. So it's like
you have the O-line collapsing on him, and I see why he's not getting the ball where he wants it to be at the same time. So I think it's like a combination of kind of everything.
Yeah.
To where it's like Patrick's not making the throws, the O-line's collapsing. There's just certain, it's not a cohesive thing. Now, I will say they get to figure this out while being 4-0, which is highly fortunate.
Yeah,
our defense is elite.
Offense will be fine. The offense will be fine. I don't like that Jawan Taylor got picked on so much during this game either. He had 4 penalties, all for the same thing. And I do think that they were just arguing semantics at one point in time, because there's no way that he was offsides that many times. So I'm like, okay, sure. I don't necessarily believe that, but it is what it is. Am I glitching?
Just a smidge, but your voice isn't.
Oh, I'm like, am I glitching?
No, you're clearly
having issues over here today. I feel fine with the offense. I feel like they're gonna get it back together. You ready to talk about the defense a little?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you said the defense is elite. I will definitely say that I think they're a top five defense right now. I still think that we have opportunity with our secondary. I think we're going to see that every single week. Can't lie. You know, I feel about Justin Reed. Not going to say a lot there. But the defensive line was really good, and Chris Jones is a monster.
Oh, he's a freaking monster. He is beating basically everything that's put against him. Yeah. Almost every snap, he's beating it. He's getting double teamed all the time. He's held constantly.
Yeah.
And this man is worth every single penny we paid him. I don't care what it is. Like,
Why would people be upset that we paid Chris Jones, but he's doing exactly what we needed him to do every single
week? I would cry if we didn't have him on our team because, like,
he's been great.
No.
And I would say, like, Trent McDuffie was really good this game. Jalen Watson was really good this game. Shamari Connor had some flashes this game. FAU was all right.
Shamari got cooked a few times, which is not normal. But he's been great. But he
was okay. FAU was okay. Drew Tranquil was all right. He got cooked a couple times.
He
redeemed himself. Yeah, he got cooked a few times, but he redeemed himself a little bit.
But he let him, like, 10 tackles, I think. So they were definitely going after Drew, which I think is...
Which I should.
Something about him being from L.A. and from that team.
He
did have 10 tackles. He led the team in tackles, so good for Drew. Because he struggled a little bit early on the season.
Yes, but he struggled at the beginning of this game. And then he really got it together at the end. So that's why I'm like, all right, whatever adjustments he had to make, thank God. Because he definitely ended up looking a whole lot better. Let's go ahead and get into our players of the game for this week.
Okay.
Who's your offensive player of the game?
So mine is good old reliable Travis Kelce. I've been waiting to give him a shout out. It hasn't come yet. So I'm just going to give him one. It could have easily been Xavier Worthy, but I wanted to give Travis a shout out because it's been a struggle. He had 7 receptions, 89 yards. He got open when he needed. He blocked when he needed. He has been underrated for us this season, I think. I think it's obviously he's slowed down a little bit because their speed's just not going to be the same. At age almost basically 35, I think he turns 35 this next weekend. But other than that, I mean, 89 yards, almost 100 yard game.
Finally.
We needed the Travis Mahomes connection. And so I'm just going to give him my player of the game.
Especially because we don't have a choice. We have no other receivers. So
now he's going to have to. Yeah. Like he's going to have
no choice at this point. My player of the game for the offense is going to be Kareem Hunt. First game back, went crazy. Yeah. Like I said, I thought he was only going to have 5 to 7 carries. He had 14. Which kind of blew my mind. He was definitely averaging almost 5 yards a carry, and he had almost 70 yards at 69. So if that's what we're going to get from him for a week 1 performance, sign me up for that every single week. Thank you so much, Kareem Hunt. Who is your defensive player of the game?
Listen, mine are, like, pretty generic picks, but, like, Chris Jones, that was pretty good player. He had 2 sacks. He had so many pressures. He had 5 total tackles. I think he had, like, 4 or 5 pressures. He's getting pressures on, 70% of his snaps? Something crazy. Chris Jones is just phenomenal. He's a game wrecker. And when it matters most, that man will step up for our team. And it's every single game. And he just deserves a shout out. So, Chris Jones. Yeah.
Absolutely. My defensive player of the game is going to be Jalen Watson. He was really good. Combined for 4 total tackles. He was just kind of in the way when he needed to be. I was very happy with what his production was, not only for this week, but just in the past weeks in general. He's really stepping up into that CB2 spot. So, very grateful. Him and Trent have been looking really good with each other. And again, I think that there's still some opportunity there where he can continue to step up and be even better, but very happy with what production we have gotten from him so far. So let's kind of get into this next matchup, week 5, back at Arrowhead. Feels like we haven't been there in a really long time, but Chiefs versus Saints this week. Now, Derek Carr has been looking pretty good. The Saints are 2-2 right now, I believe.
Yeah.
The Saints are 2-2 right now coming in Arrowhead. They should not have lost to the Falcons this past week, honestly. Surprised they took an L there. But they had a lot of turnovers that turned into points. So that's their fault as well, which, you know, I feel that on a spiritual level. I feel that.
We're just lucky to overcome ours. But.
Literally. So, honestly, we need to sit here and think, what are our keys to the game going into this game without three offensive weapons and being dependent on our defense? Now, the Saints right now, Taysom Hill left their game last week. And I talked to a few of my friends who are Saints fans, and I asked them, like, what's the update? Is there a status on him? And they said that they don't even have a status on him either. He left the game and he didn't return. And they haven't said anything about if he's questionable or if he's playing yet for this week. If Taysom Hill is not playing, that's pretty big because he's a very big body for them who is very important too. Chris Olave is a dog. So, you know, I'm expecting Trent McDuffie to be all over that. And then Willie Gay has surgery this past week on his hand, but I don't think that he's out. So when I spoke to some people in Saints camp, it sounds like there could be a possibility that he plays with the cast this week. Remember, Nick Bolton did that majority of last season. And I mean, they were together. So I'm sure Willie's seen what that looks like. So I would not be surprised if he can do that going into this week, especially coming back to Arrowhead. And Tyrann Mathieu, who was also out for them last week, is expected to play this week in Kansas City too. So yeah, he's expected to play too. They have not said that he is out as of yet. So those are just some key people from the Saints that we need to think about as we get ready to talk about, like, what we think our matchups are and who we feel like we need to watch, look out for. Alvin Kamara. Holy moly. Can he not run 100? Can he not run all over us, please? Please.
Yeah. I think so. I'm actually happy. I wanted our former Chiefs to be playing against us. I think that just makes it more fun. I think it brings back like a lot of joy into the stadium, regardless of what team you're on. I think like watching a Tyrann Mathieu, watching a Willie Gay, watching a Colin Saunders on the other side of the field, these guys that brought so much energy to our team in past seasons. I hate that they're not on our team now, but like I want to see them playing and be healthy. So I'm happy that they'll be out there, hopefully, knock on wood. Because I also want like the best matchups too. I want us to like play against the best. Not me.
If you're out because you need to rest this week, okay. Whatever helps us get to the Super Bowl.
All right. Anyway. I want to see those guys. However, I think it gives them a defensive advantage with those guys out there. I think like Willie Gay, especially just being on our team last season, I think Colin and Tyrann a little bit less because they haven't been on our team for years now. But Willie Gay was just on our team last season. So I think he is like their biggest advantage in knowing what Patrick's going to do and our run game's going to do. However, they haven't played us. I mean, Pacheco's out, right? So they haven't played us without Pacheco. We have Kareem Hunt back in. It's pretty much a brand new running game that they'll have to stop. And then on top of that, I think like favorable matchups are Travis Kelce. I think he has he could have a huge game against their defense. If you guys saw Dallas Goedert on the Eagles run against the Saints a few weeks ago, he scored like 170 yards on their defense with Tyrann Mathieu and Willie Gay out there. And you could have Noah Gray making an impact out there. And then I think our run game, too, has a chance to be big. I think what's going to be limited is our receivers. But I think with the receivers, I think you're going to have your dink and dunk plays. I think Juju is going to have
that all season. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was the same way going into week 5.
And I think Juju is going to be good. I think he's going to have a much bigger role. People are wondering about like his health. And I think
Juju's healthy.
Right now, he's very healthy. And he's
like, he's healthy. Please don't think that he's not, because he is.
He came here to take on this role, and I think he's going to be really good at it. So,
woo!
Juju is going to be
that
good.
That man was hurting my head.
But I think Juju will be good. I think there's a lot of favorable matchups for us. I think our defense just has to hold it down. In the run game, I think we can stop Derek Carr in the pass game. I don't worry about him a ton. I'm going to knock on wood as I say that. But I think our defense also knows Derek Carr really well and, like, knows his tendencies. And so I think it's going to be a great matchup. I think the Chiefs will win, and they should win. But, yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I have a lot of thoughts about this game, but I'm going to keep it very minimal. So I think I'm going to start with the defense, because the Saints defense is really good. They have been really good through this season so far. And I fully expect Patrick. So the Chiefs have 8 turnovers through 4 games. So if you did not know that, that means we're averaging 2 turnovers a game, whether it's a fumble or whether it's an interception. So I'm just going to automatically say in my mind that we're going to have at least one interception. It's going to be important for us to make sure they don't score on that. So we have our interception or if we have a fumble this week, they cannot produce points from that. I think that their defense is going to be flying all around the ball, and that's going to be a possibility. Who knows? Xavier Worthy could have a good game just because he's so fast. And I will say, I think that their secondary is a little older.
Yeah.
So therefore, I think that he will be able to maybe outrun them. Yeah. I 100% think that they're going to have all eyes on Travis Kelce, especially because he kind of had a breakout game last week, which is going to give people like Juju that opportunity, or Noah Gray. Noah Gray had a really good game for us last week.
Yeah.
He was limited, but that's what Noah Gray does. He comes in when he needs to, and he shows up big for us in the moments that we need him to.
Yeah.
I think our run game is going to be good, too. I think Kareem Hunt is going to have a decent game. I know when I was talking to one of my friends that is a Saints fan, she specifically said, we got to get Pat on the ground, which I agree with. Our offensive line is going to have to hold up, especially our left tackle. And we just talked about what our offensive line has went through, and I think their defensive line is really good. So they're going to not only have to protect Pat. Yeah, they're going to not only have to protect Pat, but they're going to have to make sure that if he is on the ground, he's not turning the ball over, because that is where we are struggling.
I will say, too, like, I think the common thing with the Saints is, like, they are kind of an older team. They have some young playmakers, especially on the D-line, that are going to come and try to
Tyron Matthew has, I think, 2 or 3 picks already on the season. So I would not be surprised if he knows exactly what Andy Reid is scheming. He knows Spag like the back of his hand. So I would not be surprised if, you know, he was able to go out there and have a really big game against us. Now, I do think that Chris Jones and George Karloftis and Trent McDuffie are going to have to be really big in this game. Chris, what's his name? Olave? He cannot go off on us. So where I think that, yes, there's a possibility that Trent McDuffie is going to be over him, I think Jalen is definitely going to come in also and kind of help as like that additional support. Justin Reed, I need you to just be better in coverage, babe. You can tackle. You hit real hard. I think so. But you got to be better in coverage, especially when we have guys like this going out here. Alvin Kamara literally had 3 touchdowns against the Cowboys. We cannot let that happen.
I don't think that cannot happen in this game.
So I think it's going to be a really good matchup. I said before the season started, I think that if the Chiefs took a L, it would be to one of the NFC South teams. It would either be to the Falcons or it would be to the Saints. So I wouldn't be surprised if this game went either way. But I just really think that our offense is going to be the reason why we either lose this game or win this game, not our defense. I think our defense is going to be just fine, and our offense needs to make sure they do not mess this up for us going into this week.
I will say, like, our offense last week against the Chargers, we started off so unbelievably sloppy. Like, it was hard. It was painful to watch, actually. So I just need them to, like, the discipline just, it has to get back. So I don't, whatever it takes, honestly, just get the discipline back, get your will to win back, get these guys in line.
They've been winning.
side. We're winning. I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying it started off sloppy.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of positives to take away. Patrick Mahomes, he's had his terrible plays, but he's had some really nice throws too. There was one throw to Travis Kelce he made, like, through the middle, just on a line to him. It was like a random, like, third down, whatever. I don't know. Middle of the game, third down. He made it to Travis Kelce just on a line. Like,
I mean, Xavier Worthy is always a dot every single time.
Xavier Worthy, that was a dot. Like,
every time.
There's still that Patrick in there. We just have to get out of this weird little funk in the other plays that, like, I don't know if it's the O-line. I don't know if it's just the trust issues. Whatever it is, we got to get over it. However, I'm glad we're learning through this and still 4-0.
So I really hope that we can get Juju going.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
Juju's here for a reason, especially in the red zone.
I think this week he's going to be going.
And Juju took a lot of snaps last week. I mean, again, because he didn't have a choice, right? So Juju took a lot of snaps last week. He just wasn't super active. And I don't think we can afford
He's been more like blocking, but I think this week it's going to be Juju.
Absolutely
integrated,
but I think this is going to be a really good Monday Night Football game.
And I do too. I think it's been great.
I don't even think it's going to be high scoring. Like, I think both defenses are going to go crazy in this game, and I think one of our defenses scores. I don't know whose, but I think one of our defenses score in this game, because I will say both defenses right now are better than both offenses. So that's why I'm like, I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. It is going to be physical.
Yeah.
It's going to be really good, too. I think it's really also going to come down to experience. Like, Derek Carr's played in Arrowhead before, especially for a night game, so he knows what that energy is like. So that's, like, one positive for him. Like, he knows what it's like coming into Arrowhead for a primetime game. So I don't think that'll be a factor for him at all. And I think he may step up and have a great game just because he's going back to a place that he's very familiar with.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't be surprised. I think this is actually probably one of my more favorite games of this season. We always play the Bills. I mean, we always play the Bengals. We always play the Ravens. Like, but
with all of them, yeah.
Yeah, but going against the Saints this week, I'm really excited.
And I think the Saints are fun because no one expected them to be this good out the gate. So I think it's a fun
they game. Didn't even think they were going to be this good.
No.
They knew they had great key players, but I don't think they expected Derek Carr to kind of come out and lead this team the way that he is, especially based off of last season. And he's really leading that team, and they look good. I mean, they're a lot like us. They're making dumb mistakes that are their own mistakes. Like, I always say if the Chiefs lose a game, it's because we did something stupid. It's never because we got outplayed. It's because we either had a fumble or we had a turnover or we did something dumb. It's never because, like, a team came out and put 40 points up on us. You'll never see that. So,
Yeah.
That's how I feel about that. We can get into our score predictions in it.
That's not wrong. Chris Jones going to get wrestling the passer on Derek Carr. No, don't bring that Juju in here.
Man,
before
we get into our score predictions, let's talk about some of the week 5 matchups that are going to be really good this week.
Yes, great matchups.
So Thursday Night Football, we have a division game, Bucks versus Falcons. Bucks went crazy this week over the Eagles, like embarrassed the hands out of them. I loved it. I like Baker Mayfield. I've always liked Baker Mayfield. I think he's chaos. I love chaos. It's a fun time. And they're in Atlanta. It says at Falcons. Is that right?
Yeah.
The Falcons have had 3 home games back to back to back. So another home, another primetime game.
I know. I had to check. I was like, they're in Atlanta again? Okay, cool.
And another primetime game. Weren't they just in primetime this last week?
No, that was us.
No,
They
weren't. So who are winning, Bucks, Falcons?
Listen, I don't know. I think this is a great matchup between division rivals that are both, I mean, Falcons are 2-2, Bucks are 3-1. Both teams look phenomenal. I think both teams have all the chance in the world to win their division. Same with the Saints, Panthers, no, but those three, I think it's a really, competitive division that none of us saw coming. I'm going to go. I'm gonna go with the Bucks. Yeah,
I'm going Bucks for sure.
Going Bucks, but I think the Falcons will put up a good fight.
I agree. I think so too. The next game is at noon on Sunday. Jets versus Vikings. That'll be really good. Aaron Rodgers versus Sam Darnold. I think the Vikings have the better coach. I think that there's still turmoil and drama happening right now with the Jets. Not sure what's going on there, but it doesn't seem right. Who are you taking for Jets Vikings?
I'm going to go Vikings. I can't pick against them at this point.
Yeah, I think the Vikings win too. Now, I wouldn't be surprised. No, yep. I think the Vikings win too.
I think the Jets could, if their defense figures it out, I think they could put up a good fight. But
I don't know. I think that Sam Darnold is going to outplay Aaron Rodgers. And that's a wild
thing. Love it.
That's a very wild take. But that's what I think. Next game. Colts versus Jags. Jags are the only 0-4 team left in the NFL. Dougie P is going to lose his job at the end of this season. And they need to revamp. They need to burn it down and start over. It is not good.
I don't know what he said. I should have mentioned that in the NFL recap, but
he blamed the players or something.
He literally said, which you cannot do this as a head coach, but he's like, we only call the plays. We can't control what the players do on the field, whatever he said.
Yeah, he said something like, we just call the plays. We don't also throw the ball or something.
You cannot.
Yeah, he's going to lose his job in maybe midseason. Not sure if he's going to get another head coaching job. Who knows? I don't even want him as a host.
At the Jags, I'm going to say I think they win. I actually, because Anthony Richardson's out, I think they have Joe Flacco.
Have they already said that he's out for this week?
No, I guess not. Man, I haven't followed it too close.
If he's playing, they're winning. If he's not playing, I still think they
win. I kind of think the Jags could win. Now, I'm betting in like a second, third week in a row, but like I kind of think they could. I think they're
going to take the Colts this week.
Go for it. I'm going to take the Jags, but
I think if the Colts win this week, Doug Peterson is for sure fired before.
I was going to say, yeah. I think the Jags going to have to win, or it's going to be turmoil.
It's going to be chaos. Next game should be really good as well. Bills versus Texans in Houston.
That's going to be great.
The Bills got embarrassed. The Texans won last week. The Bills lost. I do think that Josh Allen is going to be like on a revenge tour, but I also think the Texans defense is not going to let that happen.
So. Yeah. I'm going to take the Texans.
I'm going CJ Stroud, even though he has not been fantastic on my fantasy.
He's been fine.
Sam Darnold's outplaying him right now.
You know,
into my fantasy.
But I do think I want to think the Texans take it.
Yeah, I think the Texans went at home, too. Yeah. They were at home last week. They'll be at home again this week, so interesting. Another division game that's going to be absolute chaos. Can't wait to watch. Ravens at Bengals at noon. I hope the Ravens win.
Same.
I want nothing but the worst for the Bengals. I want them to go 1-16, 1-17.
Same.
I don't like them. Go Ravens. No.
Any Bengals fans listening.
I'm surprised they didn't lose last week. Anyway, because I definitely picked against them against the Panthers. I was like, oh, the Panthers are going to win.
And the Ravens looked really good last week, and the Bengals don't do that well against division opponents. So
no, they don't. They'll probably split the division. So
probably. And they might win. I think the Ravens.
next game, Packers at Rams.
3 p.m.
So Jordan Love's first week back was last week, which I wasn't expecting him to be back so quickly.
Yeah.
But he was, and he definitely had rust. Like, you could see it. So hopefully, like, he shakes that off and cleans that up going into this week. Who do you have for Packers-Rams?
Or else they might have to put Malik Willis back in.
Oh, God bless.
He's winning some games. I think both teams are, like, frisky and fun, but both teams haven't been perfect either. I think the Rams are lacking weapons. I think the Packers are going to win it, But then that puts the Rams at 1-4, which is crazy.
And they cannot be 1-4.
I did not see that happening for them. But I kind of, the Packers are.
Well, they have no, Cooper Kupp is still out, right? And Puka Nacua are still out, right?
Still out.
Well, I feel that.
Yeah.
I think Sean McVay is a great coach.
But they're not.
So I don't know what's happening there because we're also missing three.
We're missing Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, and Isaiah Pacheco, and we still
like. I'm kind of like, well, we're 4-0, and we're missing four pieces, so there's really no reason they're 1-4. And
that's,
I think Sean McVay has a Super Bowl, so
it's
they
crazy.
Need to tighten up. I don't know. I think this is a must win for the Rams. They have to win this week. but they might lose to the Packers. So. They might lose to the Packers. So, yeah. I'm going to go with Jordan Love this week.
It's true. We have Mahomes. We have Mahomes. That's
and we have Andy Reid. I mean, Sean McVay is a Super Bowl winning coach, too.
He's good, but he's not Andy Reid.
Nobody's Andy Reid.
Exactly. So,
but I will hold my comments on this season's play calling. It's been all right.
We're 4-0. We got to move. We got to move.
I'm like,
we gotta move.
Yeah. Anyway, Steelers versus Cowboys.
Sunday Night Football.
I think Steelers win. Sunday Night Football.
Steelers got cooked last week. They were humbled against the Colts, which is unexpected.
The Cowboys won't have Micah Parsons.
Or their other D-line guy that was really good.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
Lawrence, yeah.
Yeah, D-Law.
And it's at home. I think Steelers will win. Yeah, but I'm excited to watch this in prime time.
I definitely think the Steelers win this week.
I don't know. I think the Cowboys.
I'm taking Tomlin over McCarthy. He's a better coach.
For sure.
And the Cowboys are sinking.
I think their defense. Their defense will give them enough trouble to where they should win.
Who, the Steelers?
The Steelers, yeah. The Steelers defense should give the Cowboys enough trouble where they should win.
I mean,
and the Steelers the offense.
The Cowboys cannot afford to lose this game.
No.
This is just, if the Cowboys lose this week, this is further pushing my narrative that Washington is winning the division.
Listen, I'm not mad about it. Not mad about it.
Pushing the agenda.
I'm not mad about that. Yeah, I think Steelers could win that one. We'll see. We'll see.
I would love. I would lie.
I think it'll be low scoring.
Yeah, let's talk about Chiefs Saints Monday Night Football at Arrowhead. What do you think the score is?
I'm gonna go. I'm like seeing it. I'm seeing.
Oh my god.
26-17.
You think we're going to score 26 points?
Yeah.
Okay.
do that. I have no idea, Jody, but yeah, I hope so.
I think this is going to be a big defensive game from both sides. I think it's going to be like a 21-17-16. Something.
Just go opposite of me. I said 26-17. You could say 21-16.
I think it's gonna be like 21-16.
Perfect.
I think it's under 40. Definitely think it's under 40.
I agree. I think
there's a turnover on each side of the ball.
Yeah.
I think
honestly both teams could have a turnover, which
100%. Derek Carr is definitely gonna have an interception.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. So is Patrick Mahomes. Patrick just might throw it in the first 3 minutes of the game. That's all. As long as if you're gonna have a turnover, have it early. That's all I ask for. Do like you did last week, 2 in the first 9 minutes. I'm cool with that. I mean, I'm not, but it works. It works.
Yeah. No.
It works.
Anytime Mahomes in, so sad.
Just clean it up, Patrick. Let's get into the sponsors and get out of here so I can finish watching this WNBA game because it is getting really good. Go Liberty to win it all.
Okay, let me read off the autograph. So, big news to share today. We're excited to be partnering with Autograph, a fandom company co-founded by NFL legend Tom Brady. Their new app, Autograph, gives diehard fans like you a one-stop shop for all the best fan content for your favorite team. Obviously, the Chiefs, could be the Royals, could be whatever other team you like. But we're going to go with the Chiefs, and rewards you for what you're doing already as a fan. So, for example, you can listen to the Kingdoms Queens podcast anywhere, but if when you listen through the Autograph app, you earn coins that can be redeemed for amazing rewards, including free discounted and no-fee tickets, memorabilia, merch, and one-of-a-kind experiences. So why would you not listen to our podcast on the Autograph app or other podcasts that are on there or whatever else they have to offer? So pick your stuff, but download the Autograph app.
Don't pick nobody else. Pick us.
Or the Google Play Store today for free and use referral code Kingdoms Queens. That is referral code Kingdoms Queens. The Autograph app where your fandom lives.
Download the app, y'all. I don't know why y'all be making me yell at y'all. Download the app.
We need to find a
promo code.
No, well, we have a promo code, which is Kingdoms Queens. Right. I need to find a graphic. But this is what the app looks like. Oh. This is what the app looks like. Oh, we can't see it. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna find a graphic for next week. But
homage. Oh, we love homage. Yo, the shirt that I wore on Sunday, I wore the gray Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce like character shirt. The cartoon one. Very cute. Very cutesy. Homage has some really great apparel right now. If y'all have not went on to their website, not only do they have great stuff that's Chiefs, they have other fan teams as well, and it's just really great quality products. All of the shirts that I've gotten so far, I have probably like 8 shirts so far. I've been able to wash them, dry them, they don't shrink, they don't get holes, anything like that. Really great quality product. And it's getting colder in Kansas City. It's like 75 degrees, which is like winter for me, somebody who lived in Texas for 7 years. So they have all of their winter gear starting to flow in now. A lot of long sleeves, a lot of hoodies, some really cute starter jackets. So if you have not went onto the Homage website yet, please do that. You can get on there from our Linktree account, use our code on there. You can shop. It's on our Instagram. It's on our Twitter. There's really no reason why you can't get on there and go shop. And plus, if you get on there, you're probably going to see a lot of cute stuff you like. For you Swifties that are listening, there's so much cute Travis Kelce stuff on there. You're welcome, because I didn't have to tell you that. There's so much cute stuff on there for him as well, so you can shop and go find some stuff. We will be doing another promotion very soon. We need to be responsible and call them, because they've been calling us. So it's time to get another promotion for y'all. We just did a giveaway a couple of weeks ago. We just did a giveaway a couple weeks ago and gave away product to 3 people, which is super dope and super exciting for us. We love Homage. So if you're not already, download their app, go to their website, follow them on all social platforms, and go get the goods, because the goods are there. The goods are there.
Go get it.
They're there. Y'all, it's time to go. We are tired. If you are listening to us on YouTube right now, thank you so much. Please go hit the like button. Hit the like button. If you are on YouTube, like button. I'm typing it in the comments now. Go hit the like button. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel if you have not. I have not even looked at our metrics in like a week. I am a terrible business manager right now. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube if you have not already. It has been great. This season has been super fun. We can't do any of this without y'all, so we're super grateful for y'all. Thanks for liking. Thanks for listening. Go hit subscribe. Hit. And we'll see y'all next Tuesday after Monday Night Football. So that is going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
Football all day on Sunday, and I have to stress about the Chiefs.
We're gonna be voiceless next Tuesday. It's gonna be great.
I know. I can't wait, because I'm definitely gonna be at the game on Monday night. So
I'm trying. So we'll see. But yeah,
it'll be a good. You gotta be there. It's gonna be good.
Love y'all.
It's so fun.
Go Royals. Go Chiefs.
Go Royals. Go get the win tomorrow. Bye, y'all. Have a good night. See you on Tuesday. Ouch.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.